This is the KSST Radio News Podcast, a recap of news for Sulphur Springs, Hopkins County, and all of Northeast Texas. Visit KSSTradio.com for more news, weather, and sports.
Welcome to KSST News. I'm Chad Young. Welcome to your Wednesday, and get ready for all the news from around Sulphur Springs and Hopkins County, brought to you by the KSST News team. You'll hear stories from Enola, James, and we'll have a story from sports as well. We'll also have weather, all on your KSST News, brought to you by Alliance Bank, Sulphur Springs Dodge, and Galleon Insurance. Framing and roofing work on the new Gray's Building in Pacific Park is in progress. Don Roundtree, who serves as manager for the park project, said it won't be long until it's dried in, and they anticipate completion around late spring unless we have unusual weather that sets us back. Once the project is in the dry, work should progress inside the structure regardless of the weather. The project still has quite a bit of work to do before it's completed, although city staff will provide electrical, plumbing, and site work, including site concrete work for parking and sidewalks. Most of the project is contracted out. The Gray's Building is part of a Pacific Park Improvement Project, which along with the new Senior Citizens Activity Center, and both are funded with $3 million received in bond proceeds in March. $1.5 million has been designated toward each project. The City of Sulphur Springs also received a grant from the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, which will go toward improvements to the park itself, including new playground equipment. While unemployment rates rose across the state in November of 2020, Hopkins County still had the lowest jobless rate in the nine-county Northeast Texas Workforce Development Area last month, according to the civilian labor force estimates released this month by the Texas Workforce Commission. The Hopkins County unemployment rate rose from 4.7% in October to 5.8% in November, with 999 unemployed out of the over 17,000 residents that are available to work. November 2020's unemployment rate of 5.8% was more than double of the November 2019 unemployment rate of 2.8%. The unemployment rate was up in all of the nine counties in the Northeast Texas Workforce Development Area that Hopkins County is in, with the other eight counties in our region having higher unemployment than Hopkins County. Lamar County to our north had 6.9% unemployment for November of 2020. Titus County, where Mount Pleasant is located, also had higher unemployment than Hopkins County, with their rate increasing 1.3% up to 7.6% for November. And Morris County, where Dangerfield is located, had the highest unemployment in our region, with 14.9% unemployment in November of 2020.
Local news. After having issues with air conditioning units in more than one county office, Hopkins County Commissioner's Court asked a business to go through the county buildings to make recommendations for air conditioning maintenance issues. A preventative maintenance plan was recommended. The matter was discussed by the court during a work session Monday morning, December 14th. At the regular December 21st meeting, the Commissioner's Court approved a preventative agreement with Williams Air Conditioning and Heating to check and maintain HAC units in county buildings throughout Hopkins County and to recommend repairs if needed. The amount for the entire county would be $9,728 the first year, plus $26,088 for the rest of the year, for a total of approximately $35,000 to $36,000 to maintain. Through our studies, we actually believe this is going to pay us back because the machinery will wear out less. We will maintain it better, Hopkins County Judge Robert Newsom said. Hopkins County Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy Tanner Crump said a quote for another company offering a similar product for the jail was at $10,000. Williams' quote was substantially less than that of his competitors who have been used. The jail's portion of the quote from Williams would be $2,500. The program anticipated to save Hopkins County 18 to 22% on AC heating repairs overall annually, and after 5 years will have paid for itself, Newsom said. James Terry, KSST News.
Krista's Mother Frances Hospital is now offering the newest technology in total knee replacement with the Stryker's Mako Robotic Arm Assisted Total Knee Application. The treatment option designed to relieve the pain caused by joint degeneration and is another way to demonstrate Krista's commitment to outstanding joint health. We took a look online at the Stryker system and the Mako technology. The site says if you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from pain caused by arthritis or an injury to the knee and you haven't experienced adequate relief relief with conservative treatment options, Mako robotic arm-assisted surgery may be right for you. Here are some of these statistics. In lab studies, Mako Total Knee enabled surgeons to execute their surgical plans more accurately. Also, Mako protected soft tissue and ligaments from damage. In another clinical study, Mako patients surveyed 6 months after surgery reported lower pain scores than those who received a conventional joint replacement. Also, better patient satisfaction scores. The first step is patient-specific surgical planning. A CT scan of your knee is taken to develop a 3D virtual model of your unique joint. Your doctor uses this model to evaluate your bone structure, disease severity, joint alignment, and surrounding bone and tissue to determine the optimal size, placement, and alignment of your implant. Find out more by contacting the Office of Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Chris Meltsakos at 903-885-6688. Back during the autumn of 2020, KSST reported on two listeners from the Lake Fort area who are involved in support of a children's education foundation, the Mexican Children's Refuge. The organization is an 8-year-old nonprofit active in the Nuevo Progreso region of Mexico and partially funded by Mabel's Foundation, corporate and individual donations. Sue Machetta of Yantas, Texas is one of the three principals of the organization. Sue and her husband Jerry were introduced to the Mexican Children's Refuge work a few short years ago. Now they carve out several weeks annually to personally participate in the mission's support and maintenance. Here is a Christmastime update received from Sue to KSST. 2020 has been a very different year, and while we're happy to see it go, I've seen some amazing things. Christ is still in charge. There were times throughout the year where we felt so pressured to get everything done. We wondered how we could take care of so many people. How can we get everything donated and into the right hands when so much is coming our way? Will we have the strength to do it all? What does God really want from us? Well, the last question was easy. He wants our best. The rest of the questions were answered by remembering that God wouldn't ask us to do something if He didn't provide a way. Somehow, some way, from East Texas to all across the United States, people were quietly working. Friends helped me with woodworking in East Texas so we could take care of giving 145 families in Mexico 3 weeks' worth of groceries. Other friends around East Texas and in other areas were quietly making donations of needed items, dropping them off for delivery south. Friends in their late 70s that traveled to South Texas for warmer winter months helped distribute all of that food, including fresh meat and vegetables. When Christmas gifts are not possible because of poverty, again, due to friends all across the country, we were able to distribute over 1,400 Christmas stockings filled with small toys, school supplies, soap, candy, and so much more. We were able to distribute over 500 pairs of shoes, 300 new blankets, some store-bought and many handmade by quilters in East Texas, 3 tubs full of new gloves, hats and stockings, and so much more. And all this was done while keeping people in small groups with social distancing and with several hundreds to be helped. We did the very best we could, and it worked. Now fresh drinking water is on its way to Mexico in the form of many donations of filtering systems. This will greatly increase the people's quality of life. COVID is still in Mexico as well. Some recover and some cannot. While we are safe and able to do what is needed, the people are still struggling with not only COVID, but with dengue fever and pneumonia. The organization's director, Dr. Eva Garcia Gonzalez, has had pneumonia and has been on oxygen and IV solutions. Her problem is probably compounded by working 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, to care for the people. On Sundays, she takes a bit of rest and works only 8 hours. To all the people of East Texas, thank you again, and please know your donations will make such a difference. If you'd like to ask questions about the Mexican Children's Refuge or find out how to support this ministry, contact Jerry or Sue Machetta at 605-431-9654 or search out Mexican Children's Refuge online.
Somehow it seems fitting that the last SSISD high school game of 2020 would be impacted by COVID-19. The Wildcats basketball team's game at home against Greenville Tuesday afternoon was at halftime when high school assistant principal Jarrett Wilson announced to the crowd that the game was being ended due to what he called COVID concerns. No further information was forthcoming. The Wildcats were leading 33-22 at that break when the announcement was made.
The Wildcats led after one quarter 24-13, and both teams had scored 9 points in the second quarter. The Lions' Braylon Brown led all scorers at that point with 10 points. The Wildcats were led by sophomore Cordrick Turner with 8 points and junior Justin Hare with 7 points. Senior Boo Wilkerson added 5 points. Senior LaModrick Johnson had 4 points. Junior Kaysen Arrington, junior Caleb Alexander, and Parker Wisenhunt all scored 3 points. The Wildcats remain 8-5 for the season. Next, the Wildcats will resume district play Saturday afternoon at Marshall. Freshman play at 1 p.m., JV game is at 2:30, and the varsity Wildcats play the varsity Mavericks at 4 p.m. The Wildcats are 1-0 in district play. Marshall is 0-1. It looked like the Lady Cats basketball team had righted their ship in a solid second quarter that gave them an 18-15 lead at the half Tuesday afternoon at North Lamar. However, the second half was not a good one for the Lady Cats as they were outscored by the Pantherettes 26-12 in a 41-30 loss. The Lady Cats opened the game with a slow start and they trail North Lamar 13-5 after one quarter. During the second quarter, the Lady Cats scored 13 points and held the Pantherettes to just 2. Sophomore Kinsey Willis led the Lady Cats with 10 points. Senior Nyla Lindley had 7 points. Senior Delaney Miles added 5 points. Sophomore Serenity Lewis and sophomore Addison Wall had 3 points each. Junior Bailey Large had 2 points. The Pantherettes' Maddie Walters led all scorers with 13 points. The Lady Cats are now 6-6 for the season. The Lady Cats will ring in the new year with a home game against Gilmer on Friday. A JV game is scheduled at noon, with a varsity game to follow at around 1:15 p.m. The Lady Cats soccer team got a solid scrimmage win over a well-regarded opponent Monday night on the road. The Lady Cats topped North Forney 3-1 in Forney. The Lady Falcons are preseason ranked number 10 in Region 2 in Class 5A, according to the Texas Association of Soccer Coaches poll. The Lady Cats' first goal was scored by freshman Anna Williams. It was an unassisted goal. Junior Caitlin Robinson scored the Lady Cats' second goal, assisted by sophomore Isabel Thessing. Sophomore Rebecca Stanley had the Lady Cats' third goal, with the assist going to senior Janine Yamaguchi. Lady Cats coach Javier Aguayo said the varsity had a very good game. He said an intense first half ended in a 0-0 tie. He said the Lady Cats had plenty of chances to score. Coach Aguayo said thankfully during the second half, the Lady Cats were able to take care of business and put 3 in the back of the net. He said he was very pleased with the way the Lady Cats played. The Lady Cats complete their scrimmage portion of their schedule with an alumni scrimmage Saturday. The Lady Cats JV will play the alumna at 2 p.m. The varsity will face the former Lady Cats beginning at 3:30 p.m., and both games are at Gerald Prim Stadium.
We have had some heavy rainfall today, and that part is not over. We could get between another 3/4 to 1 inch possible through the day today. Winds are still gusty out of the north. Temperature will be falling to the mid-40s by the time you get off work today. Tonight, showers, possibly a thunderstorm at 100% chance, and another 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. North winds gusty tonight and a low of 44. Take care of whatever you have outside that is under your care. Thursday, rain, possibly a thunderstorm. Some storms could produce heavy rainfall. We could get another 2 to 3 inches of rainfall on Thursday. We'll only go to 47 degrees Thursday and then down to 38 on Thursday night when rain chances will begin to modify. Then by Friday, New Year's Day, no rainfall, cloudy skies, 44 the high, winds westerly and still gusty. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and even Tuesday have sunshine in the forecast and gradually warming into the lower 60s. Because of all this rainfall, of course, flash flood watch is in effect from tonight and into Thursday. Please take care if you are going to be on the roadways for the New Year's holiday. And thank you for joining us here at KSST Sulphur Springs. Our new sponsors are Alliance Bank, Sulphur Springs Dodge, and Galleon Insurance. Have a pleasant and safe afternoon and a happy new year.